Proverbs 23 tonight, if you look with me there. Proverbs chapter 23. Amen. Men studied a lot in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Feel like the Lord has had us preach tonight from his. Proverbs chapter 23. Got about 35 verses in it. And we'll say some things about these verses tonight that God help me. I'm just going to read the first three verses. I'm not going to read the whole chapter for the sake of time. But in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 1, the Bible said, "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat." Notice that. I want to preach tonight, the Lord help me, on exercising restraint. Really, if you look at this tonight, that's basically what he's saying here. If you look at this, he's saying here that we're to exercise restraint or eat with moderation. And anything we do to the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, I know that when you look at this here, to me, this is what this is saying. What we do, we ought to do in moderation. Yeah. Amen. I mean, everything. He said, let this be known unto man. I mean, let your moderation be known unto man. What we do, I don't consider myself a moderate, amen. But I do consider that we need to do everything in moderation and not get out of bounds with it. And that's basically what he said in these first two verses. Verse 3, he's just saying, watch who you eat with, amen. And it does matter, amen, thank God, to how we treat our temple. And I believe some of that that I went through was, they said it was genetic, but I believe some was in my undisciplined ways, amen, of how I just ate anything I wanted to eat. And I believe, you know, as a child of God, it's as important as far as our health. And God is to consider this, that we need to be in moderation. And look at what we do eat, and eat in moderation, and have some self-restraint. Amen. Sometimes I don't have it. Just be honest. But I'm telling you, God says to it. And he said, "Your man given an appetite." Well, a lot of people's hungry when you get that appetite. That's a whole lot more pull on you to eat. Amen. That said, that man had an appetite. That means he ate a whole lot. Amen. You can be hungry and eat a little, but you got an appetite, you can eat a lot. And he's just saying here, have some restraint to you. Amen. Hey, God, no matter what you do, do it in moderation. Amen. And he said in verse number 4 and 5, he said, "Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." I want to say this about them verses. Them verses is basically saying, it's not wise to spend all your time, my friend, on trying to be rich, and it don't last. Amen. That's why he said it had wings. It don't last. It's going to fly away. And every rich man, when they die, they leave every bit of it behind. Amen. The motive is don't labor to be rich. That's not the motive that you labor for. The motive of working is to be able to give and supply the need of your family. Amen. The working, thank God, we don't labor to get rich. He said, not many that are rich. Thank God, he said, them riches to keep a man from the kingdom of God. And he said, many have erred from the faith because they love money. Amen. That's right. You got to listen, there's nothing wrong with money. But if money gets a hold of you, then you're in the wrong place with it. Amen.
You can get a hold of money, but when money gets a hold of you, that's when you're going to end up in love with it. Amen? That's right, buddy. I'm telling you what, thank God for the supplying of every need. Money, it takes money in God's economy and the way God set it up for us to live. But the fact of it is God has to give us what we have, the strength to work. And you know, it's just a continuous cycle. We work, we get money, we give out. We work, we get money, we give out. We work, we get... It's just a continuous cycle. Amen. You're not listening. Thank God the eyes of man never satisfied, and a rich man will never be satisfied. Look at old Howard Hughes. He died, my friend. Listen, a maniac. Amen. A man that couldn't trust nobody. He died with a bundle of money. And my friend, his life was miserable. Amen. That's right. God help. Notice this here. I'm going. There's a lot of verses here. And in verse 6, he said, "Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meat." What he's basically said, don't long for gifts of evil men. Don't. I like what one man said. He said, their food turns sour. Amen. Well, you see, people, and what he's saying here is their kindness is a trick or a subtlety to use you. Amen. That's right. You got to watch that. What's the motive people's got? Thank God. That's why he said the rich have many friends. Amen. The poor man didn't have nobody, Lazarus. But the rich had many friends. Amen. The dog was the only friend that he had. And a man has to watch that. Verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." You know what that's saying there? Whatever you let in your life, that's what you become. The Bible, that word thinketh, there's the same word as a gatekeeper. And what you open yourself and who you open yourself to, that becomes, my friend, something that will consume you. And we need to watch out. You see the night in our heart when it's divided. Hey, friend, we don't have the love of God in our heart the way we ought to, because that's been divided, and it's lukewarm, and it don't have nothing for God in it, unless we're looking for God to bless us instead of worship Him. Amen. That's right. God help us tonight, buddy. Amen. That's right. Amen. I don't serve God for Him to do things for me, even though He does. I serve Him because I love Him. Amen. Verse 8, "As the morsel which thou hast eaten, that shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words." Brother, I mean, it'll become sickening to you at the end if you sit with people that's flattering you and trying to give you their plan or to try to draw you aside to their way. It ends up going sour on you. Amen. Verse 9, notice what he said. He said, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will espy the wisdom of thy words." What that's basically saying is, don't teach a dull, stupid fool. It's wasted time. You can't teach a fool. A fool, somebody will not receive any instruction. He won't listen to anything you say. And I've seen it, friend. I've seen it. Wherever they grow, and they grow up, and then they don't want no instruction. You can't tell them nothing. It's no use to even try. I know people like that now. They wouldn't take nothing I had to say. And they wouldn't take nothing you had to say. They might listen to it, but they're far from ever doing it. Amen. God help. That's a fool. A man's a fool if he won't listen to counsel. A man's a fool if he don't act upon the word and listen to what people's got to say. Amen. There's preachers, people that come to church, and they're foolish in their head. Did he not say the foolish man built his house upon the sand? That was a man that heard the word but wouldn't do what it said. Amen. That's right. Amen. He said, "They'll despise your words. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee." Right. I've learned that down through the years. If somebody don't like what you're saying, no need to talk to them.
Right.
You can't change people.
Right.
Amen. That's right. You know what changes people? The God of heaven.
Yeah,
right. Amen. You can't change them. You're not listening. Can I give you this? I think our church is here. I really do. There's nothing that you within you, unless God gives it to you, that's going to affect anybody's heart.
Right.
When you think you can say something to somebody that somebody else couldn't say, right, then you probably got a little pride in your heart. I mean, there ain't no doubt that there's people, Brother Joe could reach, and I can't. And there's people I probably can reach that he can't. Because it deals with the personality. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, I've thought that as a young preacher. Well, maybe I can help them people. That other preacher can't help them. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, if he's a good man of God, why would I think I can? Amen. That's right. I know it deals with personalities. I understand that. But at the same time, if a man don't take rebuke and don't take the instruction of the man of God, hey, friend, he ain't they even said in the Bible, if they'll not hear Moses and the prophet, they'll not be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Amen. Right. That's right. You know what I find in that kind of people? Self-righteousness. I'm talking to people like that, and I'll say, man, and I've tried to use wisdom in how I say it. And I'll say, boy, I don't like negativity a bit. And I don't, really. I mean, I don't. I know sometimes you got to preach negative. You know what? And that negative person will say, I don't neither. Well, what can you do for that? Huh? They ain't even got enough sense you trying to help them. Amen. You know what? Listen, a saved man will be affected by the word. If he turns his ear away from the word, his prayer is an abomination. If you're saved, it don't matter who's a preaching up here, it will affect you some way or another. And if it don't, it's because you've locked up, put a wall up, and said, I'm not hearing what he's got to say.
Right.
And listen, young people, don't never get there. Don't never get to the place that you think you know more than mom and daddy. Don't ever get there. Don't get there. Verse number 10, remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. For their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. In other words, don't go move the stone, praise God, to get more land. Amen. The world's trying to move the landmark of the church. Can I say this tonight? Why should we be, and as Brother Chris said it up there, why should we be surprised what's going on? Have you ever thought that this world is a dwelling place for this temporary time for Christian people? Why shouldn't the world do what they're doing now? They're not saved.
That's right.
They knoweth us not, and they knew him not. Why should we expect the world to go by the Bible? They're not going to. God didn't put us here to straighten the world up. God put us here to preach the gospel and shine His light that the Holy Ghost might draw some people out of it. Amen. He didn't put us here to march in Washington's capital and throw rocks through, thank God, abortion clinics and go around and call people names. Amen. That's what they are, friend. God, I don't feel guilty of the fact, my friend, I'm not going to ever march. I'm not going to ever protest. I'm supposed to shine my light. Brother, God didn't tell me to straighten the world out. He said, go into there and preach the gospel. Amen. I'm looking for the turnaround. Get this certain politician, it ain't going to turn. If it does, it's because God's people, He said, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. It don't have nothing to do with the Republican or Democrat. It has to do with God's people.
Amen.
This is God's people. The world can never claim to be God's people. And we're not going to end up here. We're going to a heavenly city. And we're not to try to straighten up this world. It's not going to happen. Amen.
Amen.
The reason all these other countries has went to hell is because there's no salt in it.
That's right.
The only reason that, brother, we got a church in that's because the Holy Ghost birthed you in the family of God and gave you a hope in Christ, and that's why you're here. You didn't just decide to come on Wednesday night and say, I believe I'll go down to the house of God on Wednesday night. No, you're the salt of the earth. God birthed you in the family of God, and that's why you're here. When you leave here, you're not of the world, but you're in it, and you're not to isolate yourself, and you're not to fear, and you're not to, my friend, have that kind of a spirit. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. God gave you a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. Amen. It's just the devil running his mouth. Amen. Don't move the landmark. Praise God. Believe what you believe and stand on it. Amen. There's some landmarks been put down. That's right. He said, don't go out and move your neighbor's landmark to get more field in your part. That's cheating anyhow.
Yeah.
Verse number 12, apply thy heart and instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Verse 12 saying, here instruction comes by work and discipline and applying yourself. If you don't apply yourself, then what you going to get out of it? Notice verse 13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell.
There you go.
Amen.
It says that the rod, this is a belt, but the rod is like a it'd be a stick, a switch, something like that. That if you beat your child, it's to deliver his soul from hell. Look at Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from him. And you know what he said? He said, parents should correct their own children with a rod of correction. Amen. Might as well cut this out, throw it out, because nobody don't do it no more. That's why you don't have control over them. You don't do it God's way, you're doing it Dr. Spock's way. It's psychology now instead of truth.
Amen.
God help us. God help us.
Yeah.
Don't get quiet on me now. Hey, I want to give you this here. I read this the other day and I wrote down my Bible. I thought it's good. Susanna Wesley, she is the mother, of course, of Charles and John Wesley, plus 15 more children. She followed these 6 rules in training them. This is what the 6 rules that Miss Wesley followed in training her children. Number 1 was, subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God to save his soul. That means that that child's will ought to be brought under subjection to the authority of the parents, amen, and not be in rebellion toward authority. And my daddy and mama wasn't even saved and they done that.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Number 2, teach him to pray as soon as he can talk. That's what she taught her children. As soon as you can talk, you need to learn to pray. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Number 3, give him nothing he cries for, and only what is good for him if he asks for it politely. That's how she raised about 17 of them. If he asks for it politely, and it's good for him, then she'd give it to him. If he cried and pitched a fit for something, then she didn't give it to him. Number 4, to prevent lying, punish no fault which is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. She dealt with it. I think it's a sin for a parent to tell their child they're going to spank them if they don't straighten up and they don't do it.
Yeah.
And my daddy and mama used to say, now, if you do this, we're going to spank you. And they'd always say, this is not a threat, it's a promise. And the promise was delivered.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. And there wasn't nobody in this church as foolish as me. Say amen, Daddy. That's right. That's right. I know it is. I wouldn't even be where I'm at today if I hadn't had parents to use a rod of correction on me. I would not even be near where I'm at today. You know why? Because it drove foolishness out of me. And I had a lot in me. And I say this again, the rod's not the answer for every time. It's not the answer for everything, but I'm telling you what, it'll answer good when they're in complete rebellion and disobedience. They need the rod. Verse number 5, she said, command and reward good behavior. If they behave, then she reward them. That's good. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't think children ought to think that they're walking on eggshells and can't enjoy life because they wonder when daddy or mama is going to come down on them. They ought to say, Mom and Daddy loves me. That's the reason they are disciplining me. That I might be a better boy or girl. Hey, man, but I tell you what, they ought to be rewarded and commended when they do right. And then the last one, strictly observe all promises you have made to your child. Amen. That's right. My children's raised now. I had a lot of part in Levi's life. He's here tonight. And I would hate for him to ever think that what Papa said, he wouldn't do. And I guarantee you, he's sitting there on the third row tonight, and I would not put words in his mouth, but I guarantee you one thing. If I told him I was going to do it, the old boy can lay down with his head on his pillow and say he'll do it unless something else happens that he can't do it.
Amen.
That's right, isn't it? Huh. You're as good as your word, friend.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Now, I understand, though, there's things come up sometimes. But the fact of it is, when you tell your children something and you don't do it, and I saw this today, and God help, it's one of them things that aggravates me. A parent saying, if you don't straighten up, I mean, I'm going to count to three. I'd like a verse on that one. Four or five. That's crazy. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Amen.
Amen.
Now I think if a child comes with a broken heart and asks for forgiveness, I think you ought to lift the judgment.
Yeah.
But buddy, I'm telling you what, if they had come in with that crying just to get the judgment lift and they ain't got no repentance, I tell you they need the judgment.
Yeah.
Amen. You know what they're saying? You know what? This is what God's saying. In a child, in every child, me, you, whoever's born in the world, there is an Adamic rebellion in them.
Sure.
Right. And the only thing that's going to do any good is parents correct them and train them in the way of God, that they might see that they have an authority over them, that one day when the Holy Ghost deals with them, they've got to submit to the authority of Jesus, who is the Lord of Lords, and they come to Him in submission, and they don't fight Him, amen. They submit their lives to Him, amen.
Yeah.
Praise God, that's good.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Praise God, I get more amen than that at the jail when I preach on it.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's go on, boys. Verse 15, my son, if thine heart be with mine, my heart shall rejoice even mine. Notice that right there in verse 16. Yea, my reign shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. So when a son walks wise and speaks truth, daddy rejoices. That's what he's saying. Verse 17, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Amen. At verse 18, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. In other words, don't envy sinners. Don't envy sin. Don't want what they got. They don't have nothing but discontentment and evil and wickedness. And brother, we need to realize that he said here that the judgment day is a coming. Amen.
Notice
verse number 20. Be not among winebibbers, among righteous eaters of the flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Two kinds of drunkards right here. Gluttons and drunks. People that drink too much and people that eat. And what he said here, they're intemperance. It finally takes a toll on you. Some people dig their grave with their fork.
Yeah.
Amen. Some people dig their grave with a bottle. That's right. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, son. It'll end up stripping a man. Said people that went to school with me, that I can tell you tonight that they're in the grave because they couldn't stay off the bottle. They let the bottle dig their grave. Got liver cancer and everything else. It eats your life, friend.
Yeah.
Eventually, it's going to tear you down. That's just like the drug scene. It'll eventually get you. Amen. People think they're getting by. You're not getting by with nothing.
Right.
Yeah. What you put in is what's going to dictate how your body operates.
Right.
Notice this here. Verse number 22, hearken unto thy father that begot thee and despise not thy mother when she is old. That means that you to respect your parents no matter what age they are.
Yeah.
Somebody said, well, they up there in age now. Well, I'll tell you one thing, they still your parents and you still respect them.
Yeah.
It's the book. Look at this here. Verse number 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. That means that thank God we ought to use a little. Thank God, pay for the truth. Amen. Buy it. Thank God, give what it takes to have the truth. Amen.
Right.
Too many people sold out to it. Wondering, we go upset people. Well, sell it. That's what they've done. They sold the truth. They've sold it for a paycheck. They've sold it for the pleasure of men. They've sold it because somebody wouldn't want to hear it.
Right.
Sold it. Just sold it. Sold it out. Sold it to hell is what they did.
Yeah.
Sold people into hell without the truth.
Right.
That's pitiful.
Yeah.
Making merchandise of souls, friend. These shysters and charlatans and false prophets that won't tell the whole truth and preach prosperity gospel and everything else under the sun that brings in money for them. I saw a interview this one fellow, and they asked his own man that worked with him. They said all that money and prayer requests they sent in, they said they got nearly 1,000 a week. And they asked that man, they said, do you ever read them prayer requests from them people that send you money? And the fact of it is, he never reads one prayer request. He's a liar. He's a cheat. And I'm telling you, God's justice on him. Amen.
Amen.
Sold the truth for a dollar bill. They ought to kick him off into hell sooner than he's going. That's pitiful. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, this isn't a job for me, friend. Amen. People say, what's your job? I said, I don't have one, praise God. I've got a calling of God on me that God put me in a position. It's not a job. If it is, I resign the nut. I'm not a hauling.
Right.
Praise God, I done got out of it. If I would, it would have been a whole lot easier. Amen. That's right. Too much burden, too much pressure, too much mindset. If it's a job, but it's not, it's a calling, it's a blessing, it's my life, it's my mind, it's my heart, it's for you, it's for God, it's for everybody. Thank God that not just in these walls, but everybody that I come in contact with, I look at them as a possibility of God helping them, and God doing something for them, and the only way he can is through the truth, amen. That's right. Thank God for that. Friends, I'm telling you, if you'd get involved in that, you'd think Christianity really was exciting instead of coming to church three times a week. What would keep you men from at a gas pump, thank God, seeing a man with a cane over there, can't hardly make it. What would keep you men from going over there shaking their hand saying, sir, I just want you to know that God is good.
Yeah.
And say, could I have a word of prayer with you?
Yeah.
Huh? Look for opportunities. Amen. That's right. That's a blessing, ain't it? You know what a woman said to me today? I know. I mean, my mama knows this. I don't even know if I've ever been around this woman before. She come in that hospital room with me. They walked in with me. You know what she said? She said, I'm glad you're here. She said, I want to hear you pray. Well, I don't know that woman besides who she is.
Yeah.
Apparently, somebody told her that I like to pray for people. What's a good testimony? It ain't no glory to me. But thank God it is. God's working in us. And the fact of it is, we got the truth in us. Why would we sell it? Why would we give my friend that's giving away for anything that would be a pleasure or be in the world? I'm telling you, thank God, you better give all you got for the truth. That's the only thing that saves sinners. Amen.
Amen.
Right, buddy. I'm glad that old man looked at me and said, you got to be born again or you're going to hell. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. I'd like a man to preach on hell hard enough to make me think I'm going there and then rejoice, thank God, that I'm not. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Praise God, son. Amen for truth. Have somebody say that man preached too hard. No, he didn't. The only hard preaching I say that's not right is a man's spirit and how he does it. You can't say it too rough, thank God, if it's the truth. If a man's doing it to help you.
Right.
Praise God. If he's doing it because of his arrogant, Paul even said, there and I rejoice. He said, man, preach contentious. Man, preach a strife. And man, preach a goodwill. He said, nah. He said, I rejoice because Christ is being preached.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what he said. Amen, preacher. I mean, I don't think a man ought to use the pulpit as a whipping post. I don't think he ought to use it, praise God, to push his agenda like he's some politician. I don't think he ought to use the pulpit, my friend, ain't God to be arrogant, but he ought to use it to preach the truth and love people who he's preaching it to. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Notice this here, praise God. Notice here I'm in the book. He said, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begotteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Amen. There's joy in a daddy's got children that will live a wise life.
Amen.
That don't give him a headache all the time. Amen. I don't want to give my mom and daddy a headache. I'm 56 years old, praise God. I wouldn't want people to call my daddy tonight and say, hey, your son's out here raising sand. That'd be bad, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. You know what? It'd worry him. Couldn't sleep that night. Had to come down to the house. Wonder what's going on around here. Amen, man. I hope I've grown up a little bit. I mean, that would be a grief to him. That wouldn't be no joy to him. I'd want my dad to say, praise God, I don't have to go to bed and worry or think about my boy down there because he ain't living right. That's why you boys ought to hear what I'm saying tonight.
Amen.
Praise God. Don't you cause no grief to your daddy and mama. Amen. You young men, don't cause no grief to your daddy and mama. Amen. Don't cause no grief to your grandpa. Praise God. Your grandma. I'm so entied. Amen. Praise God. He sneezed wrong. Praise God. I'm in part of it. Amen. That's right. You know that. Y'all ain't grandparents. Amen. Thank God for grandchildren, buddy. I tell you, they a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you what, that little one run here the other night, that little girl on Sunday night, I picked her up, man. Last night she just stuck her hands out for me. I grabbed a hold of her. Praise God. I just caused me to weep in my heart. I just had joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yeah.
Amen, son. I tell you, God will give you that to a child, son. Amen. The times I've gotten the glory, thank God, was with my wife and children, just praising God for them. Amen. I'm telling you, there's something about that. Hey, the Bible said, honor thy wife. Amen. Give her honor. Hey, God, that your prayers be not hindered. Amen. Amen, son. I talked the other morning. I didn't tell my wife this. Praise God. I was getting ready to go somewhere and I opened my drawer up. My socks is clean. My t-shirts, my underclothing. I thought, praise God, that's a blessing. My wife take care of me like that. I'd be up the creek without a paddle. Amen. If I had to wash my clothes and put them all together. Amen. I mean, buddy, I ain't never washed a load of clothes. And that ain't because I don't want to, but why should I do it when she can do it better? Amen. Amen. I had never cooked a full course meal. That's right. I mean, I think 56 now. I ain't planning on taking no cooking lessons. Amen. I just eat peanut butter and bananas and pimento cheese. Amen. We could stick a pizza in the oven and go by how long it goes. Amen. Me and Levi, we used to be together on that. Amen. I blowed up about 2 microwaves. He said, Papa, I want a hot dog. I put it in there and put it on about 5 minutes. Son, that thing blowed the whole thing. I threw the microwave on the front porch. My mother-in-law felt so bad she bought me a new one. Amen. Amen. Then I put them chicken nuggets in there. He got a little old. He said he wanted chicken nuggets. Threw them in there. Aluminum foil and everything. And sparks flying and everything else. And I thought, I learned. You know what I learned? I know how to boil a hot dog, praise God. Put it in a pan. Throw some water in it. Put it on the oven. And thank God when it gets a boiling good, take it out. Amen. Put some ketchup on a plate. Throw the hot dog down. Chop it up. And here it is. Amen. That's right. Praise God. We got by. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, that's why they sell them dinners and you put them in your refrigerator and you just take the seal on top and they got ham in there and cheese and crackers and all that. And that's a whole lot better than me cooking. Amen. But I'm telling you one thing, friend. When we look at our children, we want them to be wise.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. I don't know how I got off on all that, but it's right. I was preaching at the jail yesterday and got on my grandma's milk gravy. I was talking about that over there where he said my cup runneth over. I thought about Nanny, how she used to run her coffee cup over into the saucer. Amen. That's right. I say, Nanny, can I have a cup of coffee? She said, well, sure you could, honey. I thought that cup of coffee, thank God, and that brown milk gravy and that toast and biscuit, son. Amen. I tell you, my daddy can do milk gravy good, my wife can, but ain't nobody can do it like Nanny. I tell you, y'all take a second seat to her, praise God, because that woman could make milk gravy. Amen. And I'm telling you, me and Matt, I'd go wake him up on Sunday morning. He'd be about, thank God, 5 or 6 years old. I said, you going with me? He got up, crawled out of bed with my grandma's every Sunday morning before church. We'd eat a good pot of gravy. Amen. I tell you, that's good. I got hungry up there. But thank God, I tell you, I'd like to taste it again. Amen. And it's against my diet. Boy, I'm telling you, that brown gravy, son. Amen. Milk gravy. Praise God. Amen. That's right, buddy. I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Yeah, I never drank coffee much, but I drank it when she had it. Amen. Hey, a wise son makes a father glad.
Yes, he does.
I got to go on. Verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Yes, that means stay on the course. Verse 27 gets kind of rough. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. You know what he's saying there? A prostitute is, when you get hooked up with a prostitute, it's hard to get out of it. She'll take you to the cleaners and hold you there. I've heard them say, boy, I'd like to get out of this. I'd say, well, get out of it. No, it's not harder than what you think, preacher. Yeah, you get in with some of that wild, strange women, and I'll tell you, buddy, I'm telling you one thing, son, she'll hold you at bay. She'll have you arrested and throw you in jail and laugh at you. That's right, buddy. You've got that right. It's a deep ditch. You just don't crawl out of a deep ditch. Amen. A deep ditch, and it's a narrow way, friend. It's hard to get out of. She also lieth in wait as for a prey and increases the transgressors among men. All of the list of unfaithful men's in her house. She's got it on the wall. Unfaithful men. Hey, you saw Proverbs 7. It said many strong men have been slain by her. She's killed more than some armies, brother. Notice verse number 29. Now read on. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contention? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they go to seek mixed wine.
Yeah.
Boy, that liquor store up there, it ain't never got a sign up there needing business. Mixed drinks. Well, I can take a little of it, can you? Well, they asked me, say, preacher, you think I could drink a little bit and be all right? I said, I don't think you can drink a little bit. Now, I'm being honest with you. People that give themselves to that, I'm going to tell you what. It don't stop there.
Right.
Look what it did to this man. He tarried long at it. I mean, he said, I'm going here and I'm going to drink a while, and I'm going to drink a while, and I'm going to drink a while. And then he gets behind the wheel. He runs into somebody and kills them, or he gets caught for driving under the influence, and then he's in the jailhouse, and he said, I'll never do it again. Yeah, that's a lie.
Yeah.
He needs to say, I'll never do it again till I get out.
Yeah, right.
Here's what people say to me. Wonder why them people do that. It's bondage.
Yes.
I mean, I'm going to quit. Well, you can't. I tell them that. I said, you can't quit unless God gives you the ability to quit. I said, somebody who's got some strong will, they might quit for a while, but they never will get victory over it. Under God's Son, Jesus comes to live in you and take that away from you, you never will get rid of it.
Amen.
Amen. That's why people think in their mind, oh, the devil tells them, man, you need to get down there and get that alcohol. You need to get them drugs. Every battle's right here. It's between the ears.
It is.
That's why people do that. They think that that's living. That's what they tell them. That's living, man. Look at all these sports athletes and all these people that brag on it and talk about, man, this is the time. I mean, I tell you what, the biggest drug sold is alcohol.
Yep.
It is a drug, too.
Right.
It's not a disease.
No.
God help. Somebody said, he's got a disease. He's an alcoholic. I said, well, the Bible said he's a drunk. I didn't know they sold diseases on food line shelves. If alcohol's a disease, it ain't a disease, it's a sin. He said, wine is mocker, strong drink is raging, who are to see thereby, not why. You will be tempted with it one day. I mean, I tell you what, so far the devil tells me, why don't you go ahead and get you a drink? He tell me that. I tell him I don't believe I need it today. I say, get behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
I don't need it. I got something better than that. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. He'll tell me that. I mean, he don't. It ain't something every day. It's every once in a while. He'll say, you need to get you a drink. You ought to be nervous and stressed out. I'll tell you one thing, you'll have it when you get through drinking it too.
Yep.
Wake up the next morning, it's worse off. You feel like a dog.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know why I done that. Well, man can fall into it. Man don't think he can't. He's a lying to himself.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It wouldn't matter now. I tell you, there's some people, buddy, you got to be careful about that thing. Notice this here, verse number 32, and it lasts, it biteth like a serpent, stinging like an adder. I mean, it'll bite you and sting you. And notice verse 33, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. They'll start seeing that a woman. They won't look at her as a lady no more. They look at her, my friend, in an evil way. Then they'll start using cursing. I remember them old boys, Look, if you will, I got to go 34. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. In other words, son, you feel like you're being rowed around everywhere when you get under that intoxication. Notice verse 35. They have stricken me, shalt thou say. I was not sick, yet they have beat me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. That's the worst bondage you can be in. I don't know if I've been around people like that.
Yeah.
I mean, people that were literally drunks. I've seen drunks get saved.
Yeah.
You look at him.
Yeah. Well, hey, brother, I'm telling you, I mean, these boys come to church one time. We got them at the homeless shelter. Y'all remember Charles and Jimmy? You remember Miss Pat? And I baptized them here, and they were drunks, man. They don't take this wrong. They was painters, too. Amen. I'm not saying every painter's a drunkard, but the fact of it is, that's what they did. They had all them ladders and equipment and everything. They stayed in them smirk houses down there in Spencer. And we went down there one day. I went down there to pick them up for church. And Jimmy, he was passed out on the bed. And I said, where's Charlie? He said, down there at the lounge. I picked that phone up. I called the lounge. I said, let me speak to Charlie. He, boy, about had a heart attack when he heard my voice on the other end. I was rough then.
Yeah.
I told him, boy, I told him, son. He said, he acted like he was about to cry. I said, here, all the church has done for you, bought you all them dishes and plates and give you everything, tried to help you get out of the hole, and then you spend all your money on that down there running around with a bunch of heathens drinking. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. That's what I told him.
Yeah.
Then old Jimmy was passed out on the bed, and the neighbor come in there. I said, what happened to him? He said, preacher, he's been drinking for 3 days. Said he sold everything. He sold his watch, his ladders, everything he had just to go across the street and get a case of beer. He sold everything he had. He didn't have nothing else to his name. I think he had sold him dishes with him and bought him just to get another drink. You know what he said? Said, man, come in and robbed him. And he woke up and he said, I'm all right. I got to go get it again. That's what it'll do to you, young people. That's what it'll do to you. That's what it'll do to you. Amen. I'll listen to anybody in this church or outside of this church can name one good thing that ever come out of a beer can or a liquor bottle. One good thing. One.
Right.
Not one good thing ever come out of it, and it never will.
Right.
You know why people drink? They ain't got no contentment in their heart. They have no satisfaction in their heart. That's what he said in Proverbs. This man saying, this is not just Solomon saying it. This is wisdom. This is what wisdom says. Wisdom says it's woe to it. Sorrow. You want me to take you tonight to some little boy or girl that don't have nothing because their daddy and mama's like that? Huh? Yeah, I'll show you. They can show you babies. They've been through they've seen little kids come through the system that mama didn't give a flip when she was expecting, and on cocaine and smoking pot and drinking liquor and wonder why the kids come out and turn out like that.
Yes, sir.
You know why daddies drink beer in front of their kids and then they wonder why their kids want to grow up being a drunkard? It's because of hypocrisy. That's because of it.
Yeah.
I know that sounds kind of rough, but take it as it is, friend. It's the truth.
Amen.
Amen. It's bondage.
Right.
Nothing ever good come out of it. Men beat their wives, spend their money, live like a heathen. Amen. They have no control over their own life, and they wonder why they're in a mess. I tell you why they're in a mess.
Yeah.
Because they don't want God. They'd rather have a bottle right. than have God.
Yes,
and may the Lord add His blessing to the Word of God. Let's stand tonight.
Yeah.
Brother Robert, dismiss us in prayer.